A few times in life, as I've read the obituary page in the newspapers, I've noticed an unusual statement in just a few of those where the statement would be made that the person had no immediate survivors. As I've read that statement, I've often wondered how it must have felt for that person in the last few years of life to live without having any family. A few times, in my experience, I've had people come by the church building asking for a handout or for help. And as I began to question them about others who might help them, a few times I've had the person say, "I have no family." I realize sometimes that may just be a story made up to get some help. But if that's the truth, isn't that a sad situation? I've never known that feeling. I've never known what it was to be without a family, physically speaking. My dad and mother are still living, are both in good health. I've had a family of my own, a wife for several years, and our children. I've never known what it was to not be associated with an immediate family and with a larger family. And it must be a sad feeling to not have one. But you know, as concerned as we are about those who might not have a family physically speaking, we ought to be more concerned about those who do not have a spiritual family. And many times that's the case also. The Bible talks about the church as the family of God. Ephesians 3:15 mentions it as God's family. It's referred to as the house of God, indicating the idea of a family in 1 Timothy 3:15. And you are aware that throughout the Bible, many times God is called our Father, we are called His sons and daughters, we are called His children. Certainly there is that sense in which we are part of the family of God. We ought to be so thankful this morning that we have that opportunity. And yet in the same sense that although you and I are members of a larger family that wears the name that we wear physically and temporally speaking, and that we have our own immediate families, in that same sense, not only are we to be a part of the overall family of God, but there is the need of having that immediate family. We're thinking about that idea this morning. The need of being a part of a local family of God's people. Being involved in the local church is very important if we're to find happiness and if we're to find an opportunity to be of service to God. God's book tells us that all of us as Christians are a part of the family of God. We realize that that is true. To be a Christian is to be a member of the church. To be a Christian is to be a part of God's family. When one is baptized into Christ, he's also baptized into the body of Christ. Romans 6:3 and Galatians 3:27 state that we're baptized into Christ, and 1 Corinthians 12:12 tells us that we're baptized into the body. It is not possible to teach one without teaching the other. Sometimes there are those who will try to get across the idea that we need to preach the man and not preach the body or not preach the plan. But it's not possible to preach Christ without preaching his body or to preach his body without preaching him, for they are so related and so tied together. It's interesting that when Philip went down to Samaria to preach, verse 5 of chapter 8 of Acts says that he preached Christ unto them, but verse 12 says they heard him concerning the kingdom. One message is being talked about there, described in verse 5 as the subject being Christ, and in verse 12 the subject being the kingdom. We cannot separate Christ and the kingdom. We're told that we're to suffer as Christians, 1 Peter 4:16, but the very next verse says that judgment will begin at the house of God. That's God's family. And so when we're talking about Christians, we're talking about God's family. When we're talking about God's family, we're talking about Christians. We fully realize that there is a sense in which one's being a Christian makes him a member of the body of Jesus Christ. That record of that body is kept in heaven, and I'm glad that it is. There's not a one of us who is capable of judging in the sense that God is. Therefore, we ought to be thankful that he keeps the record in heaven. He is the one who adds to, he is the one who keeps, and he is the one, the only one, who has the right to blot out. You will remember in Acts 2 that the 3,000 were added, And then regularly there were those who were added to the number at verse 47. The church of the firstborn is mentioned in Hebrews 12:23, along with the assembly of the Christians, and the statement is made there that their names are written in heaven. In Philippians 4:3, Paul talks about people having their names written in the book of life. Revelation 20 pictures the judgment scene of people being judged according to the things that are written in the books and judged out of the book of life, which evidently is God's record book of how you and I have lived in this life. It is stated in Revelation 3:5 that God has the right to blot out a name out of the book of life. All of this is said to show that God keeps his record in heaven. When you and I become Christians, we're added to that list. God is able to know our works. He's able to know our thoughts. He's able to know everything that we do and to keep it as a part of that record. Sometimes when we're talking about the local work and being involved in the work of a local congregation, there are those who will bring up this point that we've just discussed and try to use it argumentatively to indicate that one does not necessarily need to be involved in a local congregation. I've had people say to me, perhaps you have to you, my name is written in heaven and that's all that matters. God knows my work. God knows that I'm a Christian. He keeps the record. He'll bring that record to judgment. And all that's true, except that last statement that usually follows, and that's all that matters. Folks, that's not all that matters. For you see, the same God who keeps the record in heaven and teaches us that being a Christian means being a member of his body and a part of that record has also taught us that we need to be involved with the local church in our work in day-to-day activity. The same Bible that tells us that the Lord adds us to the church also tells us that we need to be a part of a local family. There are so many things in the Bible that teach us this, and we want to consider some of these this morning. It is very important for each of us to understand the need, and perhaps even along with that, and more so the blessings that are involved in being associated with a local congregation of God's people, being involved in the local church. One only has to read the first few verses of the different epistles written by the Apostle Paul to realize that this is important. In almost every case, with perhaps the exception of Galatians, Paul addressed his letters that were sent to the church to a specific congregation of the church. For example, he wrote Ephesians to the church at Ephesus. He wrote to Colossians to the church at Colossae. He even specifies and uses the word church when he talks about the church at Thessalonica, to which he addressed the first and second letters to the Thessalonians. And as he wrote to the church at Philippi, he not only mentioned the saints that meet at Philippi, a specific group of saints at a specific place, but he also specifically mentioned the elders and the deacons that were associated with that particular congregation or that particular church. You begin to get the idea then just by looking at the introduction to the epistles written by the Apostle Paul that there is something said in the Bible about being involved or a specific concept of a local church. We also see that this is true when we look at the pattern of organization that's given in the Bible for the work of the church to be done. Folks, the God that gave the plan of salvation is the same one that gave the pattern of organization. Can we say that one is important and the other is unimportant? Do we have the right to take the Bible as we talk to our denominational friends and try to convince them the truth about the plan of salvation? We turn, give chapter and verse to prove the importance of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism because it's in the Bible. That's God's word. But the same God who taught us that teaches us about the organization of the local congregation and how the work of the church is to be done in that local assembly and that local relationship of people working together as a local family. Still a part of the overall family, yes, but organized and working within that local family. Just think about some of the things that are said about the organization of the church. And you begin to see this. In Acts 14, we find there in verse 23 that on the return of Paul's missionary journey that he was appointing elders in every church. Now, if the local church is not really important as far as the work is concerned, why would there need to be leaders in every local church? In Titus 1 in verse 5, Titus was instructed to see that there were elders in every city. One of these passages uses the word church, the other city. That particular time, it seems that there was but one congregation in each of the local areas where it was being established in these missionary journeys and such work as the Apostle Paul did. But notice the idea is there are to be elders in every church, in every local church. God wants there to be elders who are the leadership in that part of God's family. As Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, he said, "Know them that are the elders among you. Know them that are the ones who rule and have the oversight among you." Notice the idea is a particular relationship here. And these Christians at Thessalonica were encouraged to know and to understand those who led them, those who were serving as elders in that particular setting. Later on in Hebrews 13:17, the writer of that book, probably the Apostle Paul, said that the elders watch for the souls of those that are under their oversight. And they have a responsibility to watch for their souls as they that must give account. Now, folks, just use a little bit of common sense. Would it be possible for elders to give account for all the Christians that live in the world today? Would it be possible for any group of elders to do that? And would it be practical for a group of elders just to pick out certain people in different localities and say, these are the ones for whom we must give account? It just stands to reason that if elders are going to give an account for a certain group of people, they must be able to identify that group of people. There must be some kind of a mutual relationship among some certain number of Christians who are, as we've stated before, a part of the overall family of God, but who are in a special sense a part of another family of that local congregation. Peter taught the elders as he was speaking in 1 Peter 5, verses 1 and 2, that they were to feed the flock that is among them. Notice particularly that word among. This suggests an idea of a specific group of people, a specific locality involved. And he said in verse 1 there that he was even addressing those elders that were among the people to whom he was writing. Paul in Acts 20 was talking to a specific group of elders who were elders of the church at Ephesus. And he said, "Take heed to yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now, to whom were they responsible? To whom were these elders, this specific group of elders, responsible? He says you've got a responsibility to feed, and you have a responsibility to oversee. To whom did they have that responsibility? It just stands to reason that those elders to whom he was speaking on that occasion realized he was talking about their particular work at Ephesus. They were talking about their particular family of God that was meeting at Ephesus. They had a specific responsibility to that specific group of people. And so just looking at the organizational pattern of the church in and of itself shows us that the same God who keeps the record in heaven of all who are Christians has also taught us in his word that his organizational pattern for work is within the local congregation, that there are to be leaders who have the oversight, there are to be followers who are under those leaders and who follow those leaders, with all working together, as we've sung in two or three of the songs already this morning, with love and mutual understanding and mutual encouragement. But in addition to that, the Bible teaches us that there is the importance of being known of one another in the local work. After the Apostle Paul had been converted, as you would imagine, there were many people who were suspicious of him. By the way, he'd been a persecutor of the church, and you would expect people to be suspicious. Sometime, even over 3 years after he had obeyed the gospel, there were still those who did not know him. As indicated in Galatians 1, when he came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, the Bible says he was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea. They'd only heard about him. And this goes ahead and shows how they began to know him and began to understand him. And when they realized that he was a Christian, that he was truly converted, that they glorified God because of that. Well, folks, the Bible teaches us that there is a sense in which we are to know one another in the local work. God's Word even teaches that there is a way in which we are to be joined together in the local congregation. Probably each one who's here this morning has heard a preacher say sometime in the past that we don't join the church. And if we're talking about the church of our Lord as a whole, that is true. We're added to the church. But in Acts, the 9th chapter, we find that the Apostle Paul essayed to join himself to the disciples in verse 26. There was something involved here, some sense in which the Apostle Paul, who is already a Christian, wants to join himself to another group of disciples or a group of disciples who are also Christians. And again, in this particular case, there must have been some doubt among some of them. As we read Acts 9, 26 and 27, listen to what happened. And Saul was come to Jerusalem. He essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way, and how he had preached, how he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now here was some sense in which Paul wanted to become a part of this particular work. And on this occasion, Barnabas spoke up for him. In the case of Apollos, as described in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, we find again this basic idea of being involved with a local work. And notice the word received as it is used here. Apollos is the one, you will remember, who was an eloquent speaker and yet who only knew the baptism of John until Aquila and Priscilla taught him more perfectly. Verse 27 says, when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Now, folks, there is something here that involves receiving, joining to and receiving one, relative to the local work of the church. When Paul wrote the book of Romans in chapter 16, he says, I want you to receive Phoebe when she comes into your midst, because she's worthy. You receive her and you help her. In Colossians, the 4th chapter in verse 10, in reference to Marcus, the same one who was John Mark, who was the one who turned his back on Paul at one time, but later became a faithful servant. In connection with him, Paul says, I want you to receive him. He's worthy to be received. Now, what's Paul talking about in these passages? He's talking about some concept where these people who are already Christians are to be received into a working relationship with those in another area. The same Bible that teaches us that we are all Christians and all a part of the overall family of God teaches us that there is also a sense in which we need to be joined together in a local work, in which we need to receive one another and work with one another in that local organization of the church. The same Bible teaches both of these concepts. Look at the idea of assembling together. Can one serve God as a Christian as he ought to without assembling with other Christians? Well, the Bible teaches us that we are to assemble. The church is even called the assembly and the church of the firstborn in that verse we noticed in Hebrews 12, 23. And in the favorite verse of Hebrews 10, 25, we're taught not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And it's a shame sometimes that verse 24 is overlooked in that passage. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. What's he talking about? He's talking about our helping each other as a family to assemble together and to encourage one another in love and good works. And frankly, I admit to you, I don't know how that can be done except in God's pattern for the work of a local congregation. With our being a part, an active part, of a local family of God's people. I sincerely believe, brethren, that the Bible teaches just as strongly as it teaches that as Christians we're part of the whole family of God, that as working Christians we're to be a part of a local family of God. And I must admit to you that I have never known a person who claimed to be a Christian who was successfully active as a Christian without being involved in a local work. I've known of some people who claimed that they were not members of a local congregation. I knew of a man in Tullahoma who claimed that. A man who said, I don't need to be a part of any local congregation. I can serve my God without that relationship. And for a period of years, I watched his life. And I must honestly say to you this morning, I could not tell you anything that I saw that man do that I thought was beneficial to the Lord's work. Because he did not feel that he was a part of a local family. He did not feel that he was involved in a local family. God knows what he's talking about when he tells us how to do things. And we cannot improve upon his method and his way. And his method and his way, not man's, but his way, God's way, is for each of us as a child of God to be actively involved in a local family, a local church, a local part of God's overall family, the overall body of Jesus Christ. And you know, when we're talking about this, it seems to me that instead of looking at it as a responsibility, we need to look at it as an opportunity. There are a lot of responsibilities associated with my physical family, but the things that really mean so much to me are the opportunities. There are many responsibilities associated with being involved with a local church, but those responsibilities sort of fade into the background, and they're just sort of accepted without anything being said when one realizes all the opportunities and blessings that are associated with being a part of a local church. Feeling that I'm a part of a family, that I'm needed and I have the blessings that come because of those ties that bind us in the work of the Lord. And those ties that really bind us are the ties that bind us in that local work. That is not to say that we have no ties with others. We do. We ought to believe that we are brothers and sisters with Christians wherever they're meeting today, wherever they are throughout the world. And it's wonderful to be able to travel and go into other places and to find those common ties that bind us and those common beliefs that are so important. But you know, the real blessings, folks, come when we can believe that we are an active, important part of a local work. That's the way God set it up. That's the way he planned it. And that's where we find our greatest happiness. That's why we emphasize the need of being involved in the local congregation. Many of the lessons that we've studied together in the last 3 or 4 weeks have indicated the importance of this. As we've asked you to look at yourself and to look at what you're doing and look at what you can do in the Lord's work, it is so important for each of us to be a part and to feel a part of a local congregation of God's people. That's why we encourage those of you that are in this area to be a part of our local work here. That's why we're happy when people are introduced, as this morning and earlier in the week, and in the last 2 or 3 weeks, introduced as being people who are living in our area who want to be involved in our work. That's why our elders are studying and praying about how to involve more people, how to involve every member of this congregation. Why they've asked some of the deacons and others to be involved in planning so that we can provide opportunities for every person who is a Christian in this area to be involved, to be happily involved, and to be able to take advantage of all the blessings that are associated with that. We want to encourage you to think seriously about this. And those of you that are living in this area who have not become an active part of a local congregation need to think seriously about becoming a part and being involved in the local work. We realize that there are many in the audience every Lord's Day who may not be with us on a regular basis, particularly those who are students at the college, who may be an active part of a congregation back home, and you're there much of the time, and you're with us only a part of the time. We're thankful that you're with us. And your involvement at home may take the place of your being involved here, or at least may use you more there than we're able to use you here. We're thankful that each one is here. But even those who are students at the college and those who are in the area, maybe not all the time, but most of the time, we would encourage you to think about the importance of being actively involved with us, being a part of our work, letting the elders here know of your desires and your needs so that they can serve you and lead you. It's so important that we be able to understand this. we be able to make every person who comes into this area want to be a working, active part of this congregation. Because that's where the true happiness is found. And that's where the true service is found. Folks, that's God's plan. That's God's way. We would encourage those of you who are not Christians this morning to realize the blessings that you can enjoy by being involved with God's people, not only having the promise of heaven, but enjoying the daily blessings that are here regularly. There may be some who need to be restored to their first love. Maybe because of inactivity and a lack of involvement in the local work, or for some other reason you've not been the Christian you should have been. We not only will be encouraging you today, but on a regular basis. Think about the need of coming back and making things right with God, receiving His forgiveness, and joining yourself to the work actively, not just a name on a piece of paper. A church roll is only a list to be used for the activities and encouragement of one another, not just to have your name there, but to have your talents and yourself involved in the local work. And if you've been a faithful member of another congregation, but you're in our area and will be with us on a regular basis, we encourage you to be a part of us, not just in our worship assemblies, but in the overall aspects of God's work, where all of us working together and fitted together can grow up into Christ, and can encourage one another and grow spiritually and grow numerically. Folks, God's book teaches that as Christians we're part of His family and His record is kept in heaven, but it also teaches that His plan is for our work to be done in the local setting, to be involved with the local church. And we beg of you to look at yourself and to consider your need of being involved in that way. Perhaps this morning there are those who need to be baptized into Christ and to become a part of His family. Maybe those who need to be restored, receive forgiveness, once again become active in the work of the church. And maybe others who simply need to, in some way, let it be known of your wishes to become involved as a faithful member of the church, faithful member of the body of Christ in this local congregation. The Lord, who loved us enough to make His family available for us and to give us an opportunity to be a part of that family, is the one who is extending His invitation. If you need to respond to that invitation in any way, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.
One plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am. God, I come. I come.
Be seated, please. Sister in Christ has stepped forward this morning. Cammie Maynard, she's an FHC student, and says this: I've come forward this morning because I need the prayers of the church. My attitude towards God, myself, and others has not been good. I've tried to work on it by myself, but now know that I can't do things the right way without God in my life. I've hurt myself and others that are very important to me, and I want God's forgiveness along with the ones I've hurt. This time we want to go to the Father in prayer. I'd like to call on one of the shepherds of the flock here, Brother Jess Wilcoxon, to come and to lead us, word us in this prayer in behalf of Cammie.
Our Father, as we express again the very depths of our hearts, we're made aware of the many blessings of life that have been ours as a result of thy grace and mercy that has so abundantly and lovingly been placed in our lives. We're mindful this morning of the tie that binds us together as thy people in this place. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, this morning of the many opportunities that are ours. We pray somehow that we might be bound in that love that is golden, and that the red scarlet thread that binds us together in the blood of Christ may even at this hour be more to us than it's ever meant before in our lives. We're mindful this morning, Heavenly Father, of this thy child and our sister. We pray thy blessings upon her. May the words of her mouth and the meditation of her heart be acceptable in thy sight. May somehow she find that tie that binds us in this place, that we who live here might extend a helping hand, and that she and her willingness to live for thee may help us in thy son's work here. Bless her in her activities at school. Bless her as she prays. Bless her, Heavenly Father, as she works in thy son's kingdom. Bless us all, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 79. We've talked about fellowship today, fellowship with one another. At this time, as we sing this song, let's think about the fellowship that we have with Jesus Christ as we gather around his supper.
I gave my life for thee. Precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransomed be and quickened from thy